Hi, everyone, and welcome to Talent Talks. I'm Rob Adams. In this episode, we're excited to be joined by Doug Trout, Managing Director at DRI Waterstone Human Capital. Doug leads DRI Waterstone's nonprofit search practice and has 25 years of experience leading programs, development, and searches for clean energy initiatives, public policy centers, research and cultural institutes, and higher education. His placements include executive directors and CEOs, chief operating officers, chief technology officers, chief program officers, chief philanthropy and development officers, and a wide array of senior and mid-level development positions. He has conducted over 100 searches for DRI Waterstone. We'll explore how upcoming elections could impact the recruitment and hiring strategies of nonprofits and social impact organizations, focusing on potential policy changes, shifts in philanthropic giving, federal spending on social causes, financial planning, and the emphasis on diversity and inclusion. It's a fascinating topic. Doug, thanks for joining us.
Great to be here. Thanks, Rob.
So let's dive right in. Looking ahead to the upcoming elections, and we're all so kind of tentative to discuss such things, but this is really fascinating to me. What are some potential scenarios or policy changes that could significantly impact the recruitment and hiring strategies of nonprofits and social impact organizations?
Yeah, so I don't think nonprofits necessarily make their decisions on the results themselves, so you're not going to see changes made the next day. But certainly they view what is going to be the four-year impact of the new or continuing administration. So you have to remember that nonprofits are the third largest industry in the United States. There are more people working in nonprofits, for example, than in manufacturing. A second Trump administration may have vastly different priorities as it relates to policy, regulatory, and legislative activity. And the results of all of that absolutely will affect or could affect decision-making for nonprofits. There's no doubt about it. It could be the difference, for example, between thousands of jobs being created or thousands of jobs being lost, depending on which administration comes in, and or there's a second term for President Biden, and whether or not that party controls either side of Congress. So there's a lot of different pieces to this, not just on the policy side, but certainly on the regulatory and legislative side, because so many nonprofits receive federal money, and that's going to have an influence also on some of the decision-making that goes on, depending on the administration.
Wow, that's a lot to think about. And 2023 saw declines in philanthropic giving, but many viewed that as an outlier since there was such emergent giving during COVID. Instead, COVID philanthropy is proving to be the outlier as opposed to an indicator of overall philanthropic increases in giving. The election results could affect federal spending, particularly as it relates to social causes. Will there be a macro effect on charities?
Yeah, this is a bit more amorphous, I think. So you saw giving increasing through, particularly by individuals through COVID, and there's been a bit of a leveling on giving post-COVID, sort of to pre-COVID norms. The problem is that individual giving, household giving, both by percentages and in terms of the number of households who are giving, has continued to decline over the past 5 years. Some of that is due, you saw a sharp decline after the last tax cut that President Trump made, where you could, and folks will remember, you used to be able to itemize your deductions to charities, $50, $100 donation. Right. You could itemize all of that. And now most families just use the standard deduction because they don't make charitable gifts that are, high enough to itemize it beyond the standard deduction. Well, what that has meant is a drop in giving because families don't, there are plenty of families out there who make gifts less because of the impact of the organization and more because they know there's a charitable deduction associated with it. And so, yeah, you could. So overall, philanthropic giving is down. It's probably more of a leveling effect. And so when you look at federal spending, and where that's going to go with social causes, again, you have two very different approaches here between these two administrations about how they may view federal spending. I will say this, the idea that reduction in federal spending is going to kickstart the economy is more of a political move, I think, more so historically than one that actually rings true that it actually does jumpstart the economy. I mean, there's more examples of federal spending kickstarting the economy than it is the other way around. So that's going to be interesting to see, but everybody comes in saying they're going to reduce federal spending and then it rarely happens. So.
Yeah, wow. Budgeting is a critical aspect, Doug, of planning for recruitment. With the upcoming elections approaching, how are organizations preparing their financial resources for potential shifts in priorities, and how might this affect their hiring plans?
Yeah, so I let me give a specific example on this, which is if you look at the numbers, about a third of nonprofits receive federal grants. So the clearest example on this is in terms of changing or adapting their approach in terms of how they're going to secure financial resources and also where their greatest impact is going to be had is state versus federal advocacy. And take clean energy as an example, solar, wind, offshore wind, the electric grid, et cetera. In terms of hiring, a number of clients that we talk to are considering shifting to more of a regional or statewide focus that could include hiring consultants or experts in regions and states that may have been more traditionally focused in DC or with full-time equivalents, which in a Trump administration may make less sense. The Biden administration has been incredibly attentive to the alternative and clean energy sector at the federal level, and that has gone all the way down to the states. There is an anticipation that those funds may be less accessible or more difficult to get at the federal level. And so clients of ours and others in the clean energy industry are likely to shift more to a statewide or regional approach. The good news is that most larger nonprofits have work hybrid or remote situations and have for the better part of the last 3 years, if not longer. And so they have the capacity to take on employees outside of their traditional headquarters in DC or New York or wherever it might be. And so when organizations have the ability to open up to hybrid or remote situations, their hiring options improve drastically. And I know that's a bit of overstating the obvious, but it really is true. And that will be true based on what the administration looks like if you have to shift from a federal advocacy position to more of a state or a regional one. That's probably the best example that I can think of on that.
With the upcoming elections, Doug, there's a sense of anticipation regarding potential changes in healthcare and social policies. How do you envision these changes influencing the talent acquisition strategies of nonprofits and social impact organizations?
Yeah, so hospitals and healthcare organizations dominate the nonprofit landscape, both in terms of overall size of the organizations, employment, fundraising, branding, et cetera. The largest nonprofits tend to be hospitals, and yet there are countless nonprofits whose budgets are less than $1 million annually. 92%, by the way, of nonprofits have budgets under $1 million. So you see healthcare organizations across the country in nearly every community across the U.S. And many of these organizations, I'm not talking about the hospitals now, I'm just talking about small health-related, healthcare-related nonprofits that provide services that the government, either at the federal or the state level has deferred to the nonprofit community. And so they can be, again, recipients of federal, state, and local funding. If either party decided to make an imprint on the economy, and I mentioned this earlier, by reducing federal spending, you could see a visible impact, particularly on smaller healthcare organizations. Rural and urban organizations in particular, I think, would be hit the hardest in this scenario. If you are from a large metropolitan area and you see services that are and service organizations who are geared toward either underrepresented populations or populations that everything from homeless care organizations on up. And then in the rural communities that you just don't have the resources, you don't have the type of internet access that you're typically accustomed to, et cetera. This affects the health industry across the board. So there is already a considerable movement in those organizations from a personnel standpoint. There's movement within them, right? These organizations that have budgets under $1 million, they have a hard time keeping people. They have a difficult time remaining competitive on salaries. The fundraising is hand to mouth year over year. And the jobs are incredibly demanding. And you see some of the most passionate advocates in these positions, but talented people have options. And the power that employees still have right now in this post-COVID workforce is still very real, and they're able to seek employment beyond their zip code. And that's especially true for talent that in the top 10%. And when search firms like ours get involved, they all want people in the top 10%. And it doesn't matter what the workforce looks like. The top 10% is still the top 10%. And in these days, it doesn't as much matter what zip code you're in. So, again, you see a change in federal spending, for example, in some of these smaller nonprofits, you're going to see continued disruption on the labor front, particularly with regard to top talent.
Wow. There's so many things to consider, and you're doing a great job of pointing them all out. Reflecting on past election cycles, what lessons can we learn about how the nonprofit sector adapts its hiring practices in response to political shifts? Are there any particular strategies or adjustments organizations should consider in anticipation of the upcoming elections?
Yeah, yes, for sure. And I'll try not to overstate the obvious, but in certain sectors, you will see ramped up appeals to their primary bases of support. Most notably those sectors that are the most politically charged. That will almost certainly mean job creation in areas for fundraisers and executive directors, right, where the pressures continue to mount for them to raise more and more money, particularly with executive directors and CEOs of organizations, large and small. But there will also be a turnover in many of these positions for those who have been championing causes in what they may have viewed as a more friendly political environment that could turn unfriendly, and they no longer have the energy to fight the good fight, so to speak. On the flip side, that's kind of the pessimistic view. On the more optimistic view, there will be countless organizations who see cause and justification to broaden their scope and reach. And should the election yield a candidate for whom they view as unfriendly, they're going to be even more passionate. They're going to want to drive change even more. There was a response by progressive nonprofits right after the Trump election where it was almost adding fuel to their proverbial fire. And you can see that happening on both sides. If there's a Trump organization, there will be charged progressive organization. If Biden wins another four-year cycle, there's going to be more conservative-leaning organizations that will continue to drive, and they will see increases in their fundraising.
Diversity and inclusion, Doug, remain critical considerations in recruitment efforts. How do you see the outcomes of the upcoming elections impacting the emphasis on diversity, equity, and inclusion within the hiring practices of nonprofits and social impact organizations?
Yeah, I think DEI or JEDI efforts are going to continue to take hold and expand regardless of the election results. Nonprofits and social impact organizations have really been the leading, have been leading the way on this front for quite some time. And what I share with clients is that hiring a person of color into your senior leadership team is not a JEDI policy. Again, because nonprofits, what we see really leading the way on this front. And I think regardless of the election, you're going to see continued advancement and commitment by this sector. More broadly, I think you will see effective, meaningful, confident forging of opportunities for all people, telling a complete story, displaying a sense of acceptance that is frankly natural for a lot of the nonprofits and for the nonprofit community. There's still work to be done. But the sector tends to open its arms and say, hey, come on in. You're safe here. And I think that's going to become even more dynamic in their approach. And it's going to have a tremendously positive impact on the communities that are served. So I am very bullish on JEDI and DEI efforts going forward. And I think it is regardless of what happens on the election.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's very well said. And this such a timely and important topic, Doug, as we begin to wrap up here. Any last thoughts you want to pass along?
I mean, this is a really, really interesting time in our country. And people have different views about the election process itself. And I come from kind of a political and presidency and history based background. And I think there has never been a greater need. I don't want to sound like I'm too much on a soapbox here, but I don't think there's ever been a greater need for this country to invest in educating young people about how this government really, really works and how it really, really operates. And there's this great quote from Benjamin Franklin after they had drafted the Constitution in Philadelphia, and Franklin was very old at the time. And allegedly somebody yelled out, "What have you created?" And he said, "A democracy if you can keep it." And that's the way that democracies get unraveled is when there's miseducation or there's not a commitment to a full education of the population. And so I think not enough people fully understand how government works and what its purpose is. And so when you bring questions into rule of law and all this sort of thing, you have to really step back and remember how it's very imperfect. But it has, there's a reason it's the longest serving democracy in the modern world. And so we have to do everything we can to protect that.
Knowledge is power. Bottom line. It's Doug, really well said. Really great stuff you've presented here today. And I'm grateful to you for joining us on the show. And I hope this podcast provides our listeners with a strong understanding of how the upcoming elections could impact recruitment and hiring strategies in the nonprofit and social impact sectors. I wish you and your firm continued success and hope to host you on future podcasts, and we'll get you at the conferences as well. Doug, thanks so much.
Thanks, Rob. Enjoyed it.
Been my pleasure as well. That's all the time we have here today. Alongside Doug Trout of DRI Waterstone Human Capital, I'm Rob Adams, and this has been Talent Talks.